Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Healing Ministry of Jesus. And God gave me this message because of the ordeal that I went through and the reason why we had to be there as a witness to testify that God heals today. How many believe that God heals today? Amen. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 53. And we're going to read together verses 4 through 6. Amen. And the word of God reads, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. Say that with me. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he took everything away?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So look at this right up here. All of the promises in the Bible, those concerning healing, are the most difficult for us to understand, but yet it's very simple. God does it. God heals. And so, saints, our confusion is often caused by the sadness we feel if someone doesn't recover. I've been there, done that. I get that. But we are to never doubt what God can do. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. You see, what happens is our unbelief in God's ability, or even our ignorance of biblical teaching on this one particular subject, and others' false claims of healing also add to our misunderstanding. Because the region around where Sister Linda purchased, all those churches don't believe in healing today. So that was something that was told to them as a child. It was part of their culture. It was inbred in them. And so here's the thing. If you walk around with unbelief, God won't do a thing for you. Can I get an amen on that? You got to have the faith the size of a mustard seed and watch God move a mountain, because he still moves mountains today. Can I get an amen? Yes, he does. And saints of God, perhaps that's why many people immediately respond to sickness by seeking medical help instead of turning to God. Listen, in our country, we have what? PPO and HMO. We've got our little cards we slip in the ATM to get money out. But what about those in Africa? What about those in China? What about those in the underground church? What about those in India who are going to India? Soon, we're going to be preaching to thousands over there. And they're going to walk for miles barefooted to hear the word of God. And they're coming by faith. That's right. Despite of the 365 million gods that they worship in their Hindu religion. And so since Jesus is our great physician, why don't we seek him from the very beginning? When we get afflicted, when we get ill, huh? You see, God is still in the healing business. I hope you know that. How many believe that he's still in the healing business?
Yeah.
His goal is to help us learn to listen to him. Sometimes we need to sit still, be still, know that he is God. And sickness has a way of grabbing our attention away from him. Like my knee, after Saturday night's preaching in Ramona, I couldn't even walk. I was even having second doubt, man. I got to be on this trip, there's no way I can go. My son had to pick me up and walk me to the restroom. That's how painful it was. Yet, I knew I had to be there. Amen. And nothing was going to get in my way. Thank you, Lord. Nothing was. And so what does God wants to teach us? Look at this right up here. The Lord never changes. Say that with me. The Lord never changes. And his purposes and ways remain consistent throughout the Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I have scripture to back this up. That God doesn't change. We change through seasons and times. I can love you in the morning and hate you in the evening. What? But that is so inconsistent with God. Because God doesn't change. Well, where does it say that, Pastor Fee? Right up here on the word. Look at this. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Okay, well, what about the Old Testament? Well, let's look at Malachi. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. My goodness. Look what Isaiah wrote. Isaiah wrote this. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Listen, if God has made you promises, he will bring it to pass. How many of you are still waiting for certain promises for your life? Amen. Amen. I get that. Amen. Hold on. Don't throw in the towel. You see, I was put through a test like Job. Am I just throwing the towel and say, oh, woe is me? I didn't care how I got there. If I had to get there like this, I was going to get there. Nothing was going to stop me. And when Sister Linda revealed why I had to be there, I understood. Once again, Satan doesn't care where you've been. He only is concerned on where you're going. Look at this. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from what? Above. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Hallelujah. Listen, when he wants to come and meet with you, there could be a tornado happening outside. I'm going to come down and meet you. The stock market may crash. I'm still going to come down and meet you. God doesn't change. And why does he not change? And why do we change our minds? Why? You ever ask yourself, why? Well, God answers that in his word. Look at this. God is not what? Man, that he should lie. Oh, we could come up with some good fibbers, huh? We could fib all day. Yeah. Oh, God, forgive me, but I said it. Yeah. God is not man, but look at that he should lie, or a son of man, that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Yes. You better take that to the bank, saints of God. Some of you are praying for your children, your grandchildren, maybe your spouses, I don't know, to be saved. You got to hang on to God's promise. Hang on to his promise. You see, we want God to answer now. Right now, and we pout. We go into the, why not now, God? You see, you could call upon him 24/7. But when he answers you, he's always right on time. It's his timing. Can I get amen? Look at what it says here in Psalms. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. And so we can see in the Old Testament, New Testament, God is about healing us. Why? Because we're frail. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We're frail people. And God has to do the miraculous every now and then to remind us how good he is. How many believe that God is good? And so let's look at quickly here, healing in the Old Testament. And it's mentioned of God's healing power. It's found in the beginning in Genesis. You go back in Genesis. Look at this. In Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. Healed him. So in other words, Abraham petitioned God to heal his servant. And his wife and his female servants, they were afflicted. Look at it. Then they bore children. And for the Lord had closed up the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So what did he do? He healed so that they can bring offspring. It was a petition showing us that God healed even 6,000 years ago. Did you know we have only been around for 6,000 years? And after 4,000, the Messiah came. And it's been 2,000 since he's gone away. And he's coming back again. How many believe he's coming back again? Oh, yes. And so many years later, saints of God, Abraham's descendants became a nation God promised to what? To remove sickness from the midst of them who served him. I want you to catch this. That served him. Now, God is sovereign. He can serve even he can heal the unbelievers to cause them to believe. But when you are serving God, there's something greater than the world could comprehend. Look at this in Exodus. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Are you catching this? He goes, and you will serve the Lord your God. So something that we do, he's called us to serve him. You're not serving Amazing Grace. You're not serving Pastor. You're serving the Lord. He has put together this church and churches throughout the world that we would come and serve. Serve him. And look what he says. And he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Wow. These are promises of God. How many believe God fulfills his promises? Amen. Amen. And from that point, saints of God, their wellness as a people depended on their obedience to the Lord during this dispensation, during this time. They got it. They knew that, hey, you know what? If I honor God, he's going to honor me. If I bless the name of the Lord, he will bless my life. And nothing should change to our day and time. Can I get amen? Nothing should change. Well, when they rebelled, God had to discipline them with the same sickness that he delivered them from. Oh, yes. Look at this, found in Psalms 106. They soon forgot his works. And many of us can quickly forget, and we run to the doctor to load up our medicine cabinet. No differently. We forget that, wait a minute. God's the healer. God will heal me. Well, look what it says. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. Look at this. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Wow. In other words, he took away blessings from them because they forgot that he parted the Red Sea. They forgot that he delivered them from Pharaoh, 400 years of bondage. They forgot that God destroyed Pharaoh and all of them in the ocean when the water that was divided came back and destroyed their enemies forever. And yet, they forgot. And sometimes we forget. But listen, here's how many believe that God's merciful?
Oh, yes, sir.
How many of you believe that God looks past our ignorance?
Yes,
sir. I'm going to use the word sometimes, and I'm going to say me. I won't say you, but this is me. Sometimes he looks past my stupidity. And so in Psalms, right up here, he sent his word after they turned to him and he healed them. Saints, they were restored when they believed and heeded his word. They had to heed his word. They had to remember who he was in their life. Never for one moment forget who he is in your life. Yes, we know he's sovereign. Yes, we know, you know, and we can get into these theological debates. But I'm convinced throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament and what God has shown me in my own life that God still heals today. Can I get an amen? He still heals today. Yeah, we could throw the sovereign card. Yeah, well, if he chooses to do so, what about? Well, you know what? He had purpose in that too. Ultimately, you know where the healing takes place? When the soul repents and now has eternal life. That's the ultimate healing, from death to life. Can I get an amen? That's the ultimate healing. All the other stuff are just cream in your coffee. Things he wants to do so that you can boast in him and not in yourself. Praise God. You see, they were restored when they turned to him. Look at this, what it says in Isaiah. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. So you got to get a hold of this. That whooping he took was for us. You know, my son was with me just, and he's leaving today. Sister Yolanda is going to find time to take him to the airport. I give him my hugs and everything. But what if God said to me one morning, I need to sacrifice him so that the whole world can be saved? And he's my only son. I'd be crushed. I wouldn't know how to receive that, or even conceive it in my mind. But yet God sent his only son in our place to die a hideous death for us. And so, saints of God, God told his people about the healing that would come through the Messiah's atonement for sin. Praise God. By his stripes we are healed. All of our sins are forgiven. Just imagine how stinking rotten our thinking process sometimes is, huh? Only us can think of some stuff that would turn someone pale in our thought life. Just our own thought life that we believe, okay, no one knows about this thought life, but God does. No one may ever know what you thought about, and we don't care, but God knows our thoughts. And he died for that. He was crucified for that ugliness in us. The ugly in us is what he died for. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And so, saints, even though his promise is ours as a result of his sacrifice, it doesn't guarantee that the Lord will restore our health every time we ask him, because sometimes he allows us to go through certain situations so we can learn something from him. Can I get amen? He doesn't treat us like a kid in a candy store. Oh, mama, I want this. Okay, here, hush. I want that. Okay, here, hush. No. There's some things where we have to learn. Can I get amen? And we have to just say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm waiting on you, God. All the benefits of redemption don't come to us in this lifetime. There's some things that God's going to show us on the other side. So don't try to figure out what's happening now. Just trust God what's happening now. Can I get amen? We try to figure him out. But trust God that even when we get to the other side, he will let us know why that thing that you were praying for, he didn't allow happen. Because guess what? Sometimes we want something and it'll destroy us. And he's saving our bacon. Sometimes we want things that, hey, you know what? I can't give you that. And you'll go run after that. And so the biggest accomplishment of the cross was this, saints of God. At birth, when we were conceived in our mother's womb, we were automatically separated from God. So when we get saved, he reconciles us back to the Father. And now, he is our King, our God, our Father, and we are his children of the Most High God. If God does nothing more for me, that alone is enough for me. Thank you, God, because I will be with you forevermore. But you know what he does? He goes, yeah, but I'm still going to bless you here, and I'm still going to bless you there, and I'm still going to, you're going to walk in favor before, hallelujah, this ungodly world, because they need to know how good I am. Can I get an amen? People need to know how good he is in your life, and you need to testify and say, God is so good. He saw me through this. He saw me through that. He blessed me through this. When things didn't look like would ever happen in my life, God opened up a door, and you walked in, and he said, I have this prepared for you. Because I love you, and I adore you. God adores us. He adores us, and he has worked around, man, what I love about God, he has worked around our sinfulness to show us his glory. Aren't you so blessed? Man, what he's done. And so we saw healing in the Old Testament, right? But look, we need to look at Christ's ministry of healing. Even though Jesus came to this earth primarily, saints, to die for our sins, it was a major part of his ministry. But what he did for 3.5 years, he healed the sick. Yes. Why did he heal the sick? He could have left them in despair. It was a foreshadow of eternity glory with him. And so he had to do practical things. He had to do things so that they can see in the natural what God did in the supernatural. And so the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, she kept bleeding out. She went to every doctor. And then here he comes to her hometown. It was a mob. And she pressed through, and she was trying to get through, and then finally she touched the hem of his garment. To touch the hem of his garment meant that she was on her knees already. She was on the ground, because the hem is so low. She was on the ground, and all she did was touch the hem of his garment, and her blood dried up right there at that moment. And wherever he went, crowds and crowds of sick people formed around him. And guess what? He took time to minister to them. He healed them. Look at this right here. Look at this. In Matthew 14, when they crossed over, meaning crossing over the Sea of Galilee, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Where's your dilemma? What are you facing right now that God needs to heal, that God needs to touch? And so, saints, in order to understand this promise of God, we have to understand this right up here. Look at this. His purpose, his priority, his present activity. I'm talking today. And what's our role? What's our role in it? And so let's look at his purpose. Although Christ's love for mankind was a powerful motivation, saints of God, The primary reason for his healing miracles was to demonstrate that he was the Son of God. Because there were so many soothsayers. There was false prophets. There was false healers. But when he came on the scene, he would touch and immediately their sight would come. Their hearing would come. The cripple would get up and walk. He would raise the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He did all these things. Why? Because his purpose was to show that he was the Son of God, and only God from heaven can touch sinful mankind like that. And then his priority. His priority, Jesus' main focus was always on the heart. Did you know that a lot of times when our heart gets right, here comes healing. Why? Because sometimes we can have what? Bitterness, clamor. We can have anger. We can have vengefulness. You did this to me and I'll do this back to you. Come on. We can have so much grief in our heart that we don't allow the blessings to come and heal us. He came to operate on our heart. Sometimes our heart needs to be fixed before anything else can. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's a heart issue. When the paralytic man was lowered through the roof, instead of immediately healing, remember they tore open the roof and they let him down? His friends brought him and he couldn't even walk. What did Jesus say to this man? Did he touch him and did he say, you are healed, get up and walk? He dealt first with the heart issue. Right up here, look at this. He said, your sins are forgiven. He had to deal with his heart before the blessing came. And that's why we need to deal with our heart, amen? Because our heart is very dark and sinful. It's very covetousness. It's because of sin. But when we learn to line up our will with God's will and understand what he is saying to us, that's when he can mold our heart like silly putty in his hand. And he can form and fashion us according to his will. See, the Lord dealt with his soul before restoring his body. His present activity, saints of God, although Christ has ascended to the Father, he's still healing people this day. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what's our role? What's our role? Despite his power, Jesus didn't heal every sick person in Israel. For example, when he visited his own hometown, he couldn't perform any miracles. Why? 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 He was healing people left and right in every town he went to, but then he came home. It's like this. I won't use one of you, but let's just say Sister Yolanda was here. I think she's with the children, right? Oh, that's right. She went to take Anthony. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm going to use her for an example. She gets radically saved, right? And people know her past. And she don't mind if I say this, because she said it before. But she could smoke the bongs with the best of them. I didn't know her back then. I didn't know her in her BC years, and she didn't know me. But let's just say, okay, so she radically got saved and she met people, prayed with them, and God saved them, or maybe she touched and prayed for healing, and okay. But then she goes home and tells her mom and dad and her sister and her cousins and all that, oh, we know you. Who are you? Who are you? We know you. Well, when Jesus came back to his hometown, they said, you're the son of a carpenter. We know you. And they were walking in unbelief. You want to block God's blessings? You better start believing what he's able to do. Can I get amen? You got to believe he's the Messiah. You got to believe that he is the healer. You got to believe that he can restore your soul. You got to believe that he will bless your children, your grandchildren. You got to believe that your whole household will be saved. Can I get an amen? You got to have the hope of glory. You got to believe that who he says he is. He is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is the God that healeth all of our diseases. Can I get an amen? You got to believe that God said from the very beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole word of God is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? You got to believe that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. You got to believe that God is a healer today. Because he said in his word, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. What could God not do? Hallelujah. We just read, he will not violate our unbelief. He won't get past our unbelief. He'll just sidestep you. Okay, when you get to that point of belief, I'll come back and revisit you. I've shared the gospel with so many friends in the past 33 years. And a lot of them would say this, I'll believe it when I see it. And oh yeah, and I'm glad you found Jesus. You needed Jesus. Homeboy got a whole bunch of weed in his pocket, but you need Jesus. Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, that's right. Look what God's word says here, just to confirm what I'm saying. Now, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he had departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Okay. Now, here comes the naysayers. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they all not with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Here comes the doubters. Here comes the theologians. Here comes the ones that were in cemetery. All they need to do is sow one seed of doubt in your mind, and they will fumble you. Look at this. So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Now he did not do many works there because of their what? Unbelief. The word of God confirms what I just said. This is why Sister Daria and I needed to be there to testify that God heals. And the enemy was trying to keep me from going. And I said, not so, enemy. I'm going to go there if they have to carry me in there. They would have to, what, tear a hole in the roof and drop me down. Hallelujah. Saints, like them, we also live in a society that doubts Jesus and his ability to heal. Instead of following this line of negative thinking, Christians should what? Expect God, expect him to do the miraculous in the midst of his people. Can I get an amen? This is why in the healing rooms, how many of you got those little, what are they, orange or yellow? And held on to him. I'm gonna believe God. I'm believing God. He's gonna bless me. Come on. And guess what he does? He does things that you would have never imagined in your whole life. He does the miraculous. Hallelujah. Come on. As a believer now, hasn't your cupboards always been full? Has there always been a roof over your head? Oh, come on. And sometimes your $10 in your pocket will stretch a month. Oh, come on. Oh, yes. And so we're going to close with the apostles' role in healing. We're going to close with this. After the ascension, the apostles carried on Christ's work, healing the sick, watching the lame. For example, saints, when Peter and John met the lame beggar, remember him? They said, "Silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." They would walk and their shadows would touch people and they would be healed just by the shadow. That's the anointing of God. And I'm praying for each and every one of us here that we would walk in that same anointing. Can I get amen? We should be able to walk into a room and the glory of God, hallelujah, should illuminate no matter where you're at. Can I get amen? People need to know that you are a child of God and that you've been with God. You need to be the difference maker. Can I get an amen? I'm telling you, when you walk in, that atmosphere in that room needs to change. Hallelujah. The darkness needs to flee. Can I get an amen? And the glory of God will be ushered in by your anointing, by your faith, and the glory of God that's upon you. Oh, that's right. And you ought to speak prophetic words to people, confirming it in the word of God. When you speak, things happen in ways that we can't even imagine. And you need to testify. Always testify what God has done in your life, what God will do in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We see this little story right here in the book of Acts. Look at this. Right up here in Acts. Look at this. And we're coming in for a close. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask for alms? Look at this in verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was just, okay. A piece of silver will work. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now look what this beggar did. He didn't go home and hide his healing. He got up and started testifying. Oh, come on. What has God done in your life that you need to testify? Huh? Look at this. So leaping up, stood and walked into the temple with them, walking and leaping, and he was praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. Praise God. What has happened to you since you've given your heart to God? What has happened? Huh? What has happened? Listen. Paul was the greatest example in the New Testament. He was a persecutor of the church. He killed Christians. He was the first drive-by. He drove by their homes and just basically did house invasions. You know how we hear it on the police blog? Oh, this house got invaded. House invasion. Well, they had back then, and Paul was ahead of it. He was Saul of Tarsus. Man. And he, when he got converted, and God blinded his eyes for 3 days and then gave him back his sight, he knew right then and there that he was no longer in control of himself. And you know what God did for him? Because this man was under Gamaliel. This man was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the attorney of the day. This guy was the brain in Jerusalem. Matter of fact, they came to him and they sat at his feet, Saul of Tarsus. But God did something to keep them humble. What was that that kept them humble? It was, huh? We're going to close with this scripture right here. Look at this. We're going to go right there. Watch. Come on. 2 Corinthians 12. He wrote this, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations." Listen, God has blessed you with revelation. God has blessed you with knowledge. God has blessed you with wisdom. God has supernaturally touched your life. Do not puff yourself up. I just want to say this and be clear. Because we all are at his mercy. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Can I get amen? We are all equal at the cross. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm above you. No, I'm at the equal ground level with you all. Man made up a title. Look at this. "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." In other words, look at me now. My brother Dale and his friend went to a church in National City. I won't say the name of the church, but there was an evangelist there. I won't even say his name. But he had people in there. "You want more of me? You want some of me? Come to me." Wow. They got up and jetted.
That's right.
Because that's a false prophet. "You want more of me?" Didn't even mention Jesus. "You want some more of me?"
No.
That brother no longer has ministry. Don't lift yourself up. Be humble. Be gracious to people. Love on them. And when they're going through, pray for them. Don't try to figure it out for them. Don't be Job's friends.
No.
One of Job's friends says, "You must be in sin." Uh-uh. Look at this. Verse 8, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is what? Sufficient." What God is doing right now in your life, this very moment, his grace is sufficient. Can I get an amen?
Thank you, Lord.
"My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I just testified to you guys earlier. I was hurt. I couldn't hide it. But I had to be there. There was an infirmity on me. I don't know where it came from. I believe it came from the enemy. I came to a final conclusion. The enemy didn't want me to be there to testify to these Baptist preachers where Sister Linda wanted to set up the healing rooms in that area and use that church as a ministry. Look at this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I believe there's people here right now that need a touch from you. And you need to be like the Bible says, to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And he will move the mountains in your life. We all have mountains in our life. Those who are here that are part of the healing rooms, come on up. You know your names. And those of you that need prayer, I'm going to ask that you guys would come up by faith and get prayer. YouTube, Facebook, we love you. Thank you for logging in with us. We're going to say bye to you right now. But if you're watching for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would save you and do the miraculous in your life right now. And it's all by faith. It's all by faith. If that's you, bow your heart and your head, and we're going to pray this prayer of faith with you, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God would save you from your sins, and that you too would have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.